the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we are back again, Corey, in a world wherein Zagreus has left us behind. He has wandered off into the great unknown and left to follow in his footsteps is a young lady by the name of Melanoa. His sister, cousin,
his sister.
Yes. Now taking up the mantle and adventuring in his stead all over again. Yes, that's right, everybody. This week, Hades 2, early access,
cold dropped
hit, and people can't stop talking about it. Corey can't stop talking about it. I had to shut him up pre-show.
Freaking good, people.
We started counting down and he was like, I just can't stop. You gotta hit me in the face. And I was like, I can't, but I'll do the next best thing.
Which was start this, the podcast.
Which is just started, I guess. Yeah.
But like right before that, I brought up challengers and it was a whole thing.
But yeah, Corey, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before then, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Really tired. Went for a run today. Went to the driving range for teaching one of my buddies how to play golf. And so my body's just, you know.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah. I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling a little tired. We had some family in over the weekend and also had to get up kind of early the last few days in a row just for different things. Go to an appointment and then go to a different appointment for my daughter's 4-year thing and, you know, just all this kind of stuff. So a little tired, but you know, fortunately, work this week little light. So I have a little bit more breathing room. Not super stressy, so it's all kind of nice, Corey. Which means, of course, we are playing games. You've obviously been playing Hades 2. You've been playing a little bit of other stuff. I have also been playing some stuff. Not Hades 2, unfortunately. Get this, everybody. When asked if Corey would buy me a Steam Deck so where I could play Hades 2, he laughed and said,
yeah.
So take that for what you will. That's where we are today.
Hey, sorry,
you could be hearing Chris's takes on this, but no, you don't get to.
I mean, you could buy it on your computer and just, you know, connect one of your controllers and just play it on the little screen.
I could buy it on my work computer, Corey. I'm sure that'll fly. I don't even know if I would be able. We got like weird firewalls and stuff. I don't even know that I'd be able to connect into anything like that. I've never tried.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I've been playing some other stuff. Before we dig into that, though, Corey, news. If you hear that news. I'm just kind of busting along, it's because there's a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah,
there's stuff you gotta get happening. At it. The smaller stuff right out. Nintendo officially acknowledged that they're making a Switch 2. Yeah. They didn't announce one, but in a tweet they said, "Hey, yeah, we're making a Switch 2. We will announce it within this fiscal year,"
which means nothing.
Yeah, it means before March of 2025, basically. So, still a long window, but okay, it's nice to have that confirmation. They also did set expectations in saying that in June, when they have their big direct, they will not be showing. Which I think is a good idea to temper that, just leave that open, because if you acknowledge it, then you don't say it, and then you have this big E3 level type direct that doesn't show it, that's not going to look great. So yeah, that's It's exciting. There's also been more rumors coming out about it being like the Joy-Cons having like a magnetic attachment instead of like yeah. the little slide on rails. Just looks like just cool little updates. Definitely a Switch. If anybody was wondering, or at least yeah. that's what it sounds like, based on rumors. So, you know, whether that means, is it backwards compatible? Is it, can you use your old Joy-Cons with it? Who knows? We don't know yet, Corey.
We don't.
And we might not find out until a year from now, but get excited.
Yeah.
Are you excited, Corey?
I am, but I mean, it's a conversation for another day. I'm now curious, okay, by all rumors and what seems to be happening is that Switch 2 is just going to be an overpowered, up-to-date, beefy Switch with mm-hmm. some new features. But Nintendo's jumped around so much between handhelds, GameCubes, N64, SNES. I'm just wondering, in today's age of consoles, can they ever leave the Switch model now? This blend of console to handheld. Conversation for another day, but that is immediately where my brain went to just now, thinking about it. Yeah. I don't know if they can, personally. The Switch may be here to stay, and they might release like offshoots of other things here and there.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, we can dig down deep into that, but I mean, I've also thought about that a lot. Like,
it's too good.
Yeah, it's too hard to just leave behind. So, yeah. But yeah, other stuff. Another big thing actually happened today as we're recording. didn't happen as we were recording, but the day that we are recording, Xbox just kind of, they shadow dropped their own little announcement and laid off a bunch of people. They closed multiple kind of sub studios under them, most notably Arkane Austin, mm-hmm. Who you might know most recently from Redfall, the multiplayer first party little vampire game, but Arkane also being, you know, a part of the same studio that did Dishonored. And, you know, I mean, obviously, like Arkane Austin, Arkane Lyon, they kind of bounce back and forth between things, but Arkane Austin is a big part of Arkane. Mm-hmm. And then Tango Gameworks, which honestly, like, kind of came as a shock to me considering a couple of things. One, they released Hi-Fi Rush, which I feel like was, like, especially last year, was like the most critically acclaimed Xbox exclusive title.
Yeah.
Then they also ported it onto other platforms. It was one of their few games that they released as a like test, effectively, to be like, hey, we're gonna put this on Switch. We're gonna put it on PlayStation. So the fact that they are just being let go is really strange.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah. They also, Alpha Dog Games, which I'm not familiar with. They made a mobile game, I guess, most notably called Mighty Doom. And I think also a support studio. Roundhouse Games being absorbed by another internal team. So three closures, one absorption, I guess. Kind of shocking, it feels like. And not great, especially too, whenever you look in, like, apparently, I mean, for one, everybody seemed legitimately shocked. Like, they just kind of put up some, you know, statements. They're like, okay, we found out that we're closing today. Arkane Austin, especially, they were like, we were in the middle of developing like an offline mode and some DLC for Redfall. And
yeah, today.
We're not doing that anymore. That sucks.
It does. I mean, it's, this isn't anything that, you know, Sony hasn't done or others like big, I mean, I guess Nintendo's the other real big one, hasn't done in the past, but for this scale of what Xbox has had more mass layoffs this year than they've had releases to, like, mm-hmm. put that in perspective. And for a company that has, over the years, tried to effectively buy up as much development or developers as they could in all these teams, and then to just be cutting them loose so quickly. Not even cutting them loose, like, just you're done, is super shitty, for just lack of a better word. Like we said, Hi-Fi Rush was a huge success. And I mean, I don't know about physically, but in terms of, like, when I say physically, I mean monetary, money-wise. But reception, reviews, ratings, everyone loved it. And for them to be like, you know, I love what you did, but it wasn't enough. So you're done. Yeah. It's just, it's wrong. I really wish it wasn't happening. And everyone wishes it wasn't happening, but it just feels so disingenuous by Xbox to, again, roll up, bring all these teams in, all these studios in, and then just say, you're not hacking it. You're not bringing in enough money. Sorry about them. My dog barking. He currently has an injured paw. I'm assuming he's trying to lick it. Elizabeth's telling him he can't. He's very upset about it. But where was I? Oh yeah, Xbox being awful. Again, this isn't something that PlayStation, Nintendo, other, I guess Steam is Valve, isn't really like a developer hoarder. Mm-hmm. They haven't done, but it doesn't feel quite like, hey, here's four teams we're closing today kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, all these huge companies have bad business practices. I'm not trying to gloss over the other ones. It's just, this is the one, this is the new one. This is the one that was dropped today. And I think we'd be remiss not to point out that it's just a horrible look for Xbox.
And again, and you mentioned it, but it's not like it's just a Microsoft thing. I mean, a couple of months ago, PlayStation had theirs, where Insomniac and Naughty Dog and Guerrilla, and I mean, they had some layoffs, like not anything massive. They're not closing Insomniac or anything, no. But like, you know, they had, you know, kind of a sweep of some layoffs across a lot of their first party teams. And again,
go ahead. Wizards of the Coast got rid of like the entire team from Hasbro that did Baldur's Gate 3, mm-hmm. which when you think about is, you kind of look at it and like, excuse me, this is Baldur's Gate 3, I think they came out and said, you know, made like 6-7 times what they thought it would make. And this was like months ago when they released that. Like, we thought we would have, you know, a couple hundred thousand purchases instead of millions.
Mm-hmm.
And corporate greed kicked in. They're like, well, instead of, you know, keeping everyone in and doing another game like this, what if we got rid of all these people and then tried to do it again? That way we can make even more money. It's just corporate greed at the end of the day, just like running riot over all of this stuff. Like, how can the top level just fat in their pockets that extra inch more? And it sucks.
Well, and it's also another question for another time, but you know, I heard a conversation about like, what would games be like today if, you know, back in the early to mid 2000s, instead of seeking to like start making things more and more realistic, we continued to seek out like style and like thriving within those constraints. Because like, you know, thinking about earlier games that like were, you know, they obviously didn't necessarily look as great as some later games, but thrived in the face of all of those limitations, like became these classics and games that even still look great. And then you have just this trend of AAA games over 20 years kind of fighting to max out what's possible on each of these systems. And it's like, maybe things wouldn't be different, but it's entirely possible that like we wouldn't have as many layoffs because we wouldn't be having all of these games that require, you know, $1 billion to make.
Yeah.
And where you would have to be laying people off just to break even after you sold 100 million copies. Yeah. I don't know. It is a sucky thing, and much like the American housing costs and the salary gap and all of these things, hopefully someday it changes. Will it? Maybe.
I like to think it will.
You would like to hope. I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, the difference between those other things is that, you know, eventually, if you lay off everybody in the gaming industry, you just don't have video games
anymore. Yeah.
So, you have to figure it out eventually. If you want to keep making games, you have to figure out how to make it sustainable, or you're just going to get rid of everybody. And nobody wants that. So, yeah. Speaking of layoffs, I don't think we talked about it because I think it happened after we spoke. But yeah, there was also Take-Two laid off. What was it? The Roll 7 team who made Rollerdrome, Ollie World. Also, Pain. I mean, Rollerdrome, I think, was less successful, but like Ollie World, especially, like people adored.
I love it.
Yeah, and then the company that makes the Kerbal Space Program game, which also has a rabid fan base.
Yeah.
So more teams just not doing that stuff anymore. So
pain.
Lot of fun. Corey, what other news is there?
There was the Helldivers 2 saga, which felt a little silly. I think the communication was just really bad, it was leaked effectively. All PC Steam users will need to connect a PSN account. If you don't have it, you have to create one to connect it, which was PlayStation just their way of tracking, I think, the PC market a little better. And literally all it was just making an account, not paying for PlayStation Network, not like owning a PlayStation. It was just have an account and link it. And the PC users went crazy and review bombed the hell out of the game, asked for refunds, XYZ. They bullied PlayStation, and PlayStation eventually just, Sony bought it back. Like, fine, like, you don't have to do that. We're not going to do that. Sorry, we'll be better about communicating in the future. And it just felt something that was like maybe a little unnecessary, because all it takes is 2 minutes to make an account. And I understand sometimes you don't want to make an account. Like, I haven't made my 2K account to play Top Spin. Not because I'm against making an account. It's just, just haven't gotten around to it yet. But it's not like I had to make it. I had to count to be able to play this game. It felt very overblown for no reason, in my opinion. And I kind of just thought it was a little silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's already resolved. They said, our bad, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to. And then immediately all the reviews are back to positive and everything, and everyone rebought the game. And it's just like, I guess in this one case, bullying worked.
What did they say? The squeaky wheel gets the grease, baby.
I guess so. it was just wild to watch in real time. I'm like, but I have it on PlayStation. I've been playing on PlayStation. I haven't had any issues, but interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I also heard where the Ghosts of Tsushima, like, multiplayer mode on PC is going to require a PSN account. And like, so I mean, there's like, again, it's not the, I mean, out of all of the accounts you could be making, like, you know, PSN is a lot easier to deal with than like a random ass, you know, 2K account, for instance, or, you know, whatever. But still, you know, you're on PC and... there is a level of frustration, and I totally get people like not digging that a ton.
I get the frustration with it, and like the idea of like, why do I have to do this if I've played the game here for the better part of, what, 4 months now, 3 months now?
Yeah.
But I think some of the reactions, it just felt so extreme of this game. Like, I hate this XYZ. And to be fair, Arrowhead, the developers were like, review bomb the game, ask for a refund because Sony won't listen to us because we don't want to do this either.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, not to be fair, but for them, it's like, hey, man, read the dotted line. You know, they backed you to help make the game. You gotta be careful who, like, what Xbox is doing. You gotta be careful these teams who you sell to, effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, I get money talks, but yeah, it's tough. It's a rough situation all around for Arrowhead, for the players. Glad Sony walked it back, though.
Yeah.
I will say that. It was the wrong call to force people to do that. It just felt overblown.
Yeah. Corey, is that it for news?
I think so. Unless something breaking happens.
Who knows? Any moment. But until we hear those sirens calling, Corey, talk to us about the only siren that anybody wants to actually hear calling. Melanino. Nobody wants to hear me talk about anything else. We only want Hades 2 right now, so talk about it.
Yeah.
And sing your siren song, Corey.
That's funny. I'm not going to tell you why that's funny, but it is funny. if anyone's played Hades 2, they know why that's funny.
Okay.
I won't spoil it, though. But Hades 2 is a direct sequel to Hades. They announced it yesterday that it was going to early access on Steam. It's $30. And I was looking into it. I'm like, you know, I love Hades to death, the first game. Mm-hmm. It is one of my favorite games ever. I think it's one of the best like experiences ever. When you look at a game, for me, a lot of times, you know, I'm like, what do I love about this? Where are some things that are not working for me? XYZ. There is not a thing I would change about Hades. Mm-hmm. I think it might be a perfect game. And so very difficult to follow up with that, with Hades 2 coming out. Because I'm like, I don't know how you top it. I don't know if it needed a sequel. Supergiant's never done sequels. XYZ. I was reading the description. They're like, and early access for Hades 2 is bigger than the entire length of, it's bigger than Hades ever was. Areas, dialogue, XYZ. And I kind of just like, you know, I cranked my head. I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I believe that. But that was enough to like, you know, it gets the gears turning like, well, what does 1.0 look like? What does a full release look like? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah. I'll do early access. Let's see what's popping. It's popping. It's like I said, it is a direct sequel story wise. I will not spoil a lot of the story. I'm not going to try to spoil any of the story. Out the gate, the premise is that, and this is immediately out the gate. So people are listening, you don't want to know anything. Skip ahead probably 20 minutes, I would say.
Okay.
Or just dip now. Thanks for checking out.
Yeah, bye-bye. See you next week. Kronos, Hades 2.
Yeah. Kronos, the Titan of Time, is waging war against Olympus. Mm-hmm. That is the premise of the game. And you, Melanie, have a different mission. You are kind of in this place called, it's like the in-between. I can't remember the exact name, with Hecate, the witch, who is your mentor, who has like trained you. Then you have a mission to complete. And that is your basis of traveling through the underworld in its different regions. So that's your premise. Similar to Hades, it plays identical in terms of, you know, you go through levels, you see which doors, you know what you're going to get going through each door. Pomegranates, new god powers. Their currencies are different than Hades 2's currency is different than Hades 1 currency, which I like. It's it's very, very similar and also entirely different. Melanie, she is a witch, and so there is a heavy Wiccan witch vibe the whole time. Okay. Like, you're brewing potions, you're trying to speak with the three fates. Unlike Zagreus, who was, I think, kind of a heavy metal, like, mm-hmm. pound, like ground pound, like just kind of a meathead.
Yeah.
The best himbo we've ever met.
Yeah.
Melanie is much smarter. She feel where Zagreus felt driven by maybe curiosity. Mm-hmm. In Hades 1, she is driven by more anger, I will say. Don't want to say more than that. And it's electric. Zagreus was, you had your sword, you had your, it was your cast, your gem that you could throw, that you kind of, augment through your runs. Melanie, she has, she's a witch. She does magic. So you are casting spells. And so there was maybe 1, 2, 3 moves you could do with Zagreus, there's like 5 or 6 moves that you have going on right now. If your regular attack, if you hold it down, it's going to do a modified version using your magic. It's going to cast a spell. Mm-hmm. Heavy attack, which is effectively your cast now, also changes based on your weapon. And you can charge it up to do more magic damage. So right now I currently have the dagger and sickle. And instead of it being just like a one shot, it's like a shotgun blast of needles that will come out when I charge it up.
Okay.
She also has her hex that you can entrap people in. That changes, that will do damage, that can freeze them in place, hold them there, slows them down, XYZ. You also have, that's not your hex. That's your like Omega cast. Your hex gets modified by, depending on which god you roll with, tons of new gods. And it's effectively your super move. It's not like an ultimate attack. It's crazy what they have like brought in and how they've made this game so much more dynamic by just adding 1 or 2 new tools to your disposal. Mm-hmm. She's a monster, and it feels that way. As a character, she's lovely. Wonderful time. Very witty. Maybe a little coming of age. Slightly unsure of herself and her talents. Very compelling protagonist.
Okay.
The new cast of characters are ridiculous. You have Nemesis, who is a daughter of Nyx from the first, who very much is, upset that you're on this mission and she's not. She thinks she's better. She might be. You have Odysseus, who plays your Achilles here. Or was it Theseus from the first game? No, it was Achilles, right? Yeah. Now my brain's all around.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
You have Odysseus, who is the master tactician, who it seems like this is his plan. He very much is like, there's some of the gods I don't think would be happy to know I'm here. So, like, please don't tell anyone that I'm here. Please.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good. Some of the previous characters, there's Dora, who is the spirit who's training to be like a haunting spirit. She's really bad at it. Okay. And she's like really this like just sassy, like cute ghost. And like immediately she tries to scare you and you're like, you're doing fine. And she's like, I would really love to be able to like terrorize people. And you're like, I get it. And she's like, I just think I can do it. All right. You'll get there. And she's like, do you think so? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, why are you lying to me? It's crazy. There's a frog you can confide in every time you die. There's a frog waiting for you. You can find it. Wasn't my best run. And he just ribbits. And that's all you need at times. It's a good ribbit.
Love it.
It's fantastic. They've nailed it. How they've done it, I don't know. Some changes that they made instead of the mirror where you would take dark blood, purple blood. Mm-hmm. What was it called? I can't remember what it's called. Man, I should really hate it. Nah. You now have like this ash, and what it is instead of this huge mirror where you're unlocking things and kind of like change what you're what you're gonna have, you have a tarot deck where you can only buy cards, and you can only have so many cards active at a time. And you can upgrade how many you have active at a time, but you're effectively like creating tarot cards that are going to act as, oh, when you have over 80% health, you do 20% more damage, or now you have an extra death defiance, or your dash recharges this much quicker, or if you stand still for this long, or if you stand still for more than like 2 seconds, your magic will rapidly, your mana bar will rapidly refill, things like that. And so you're almost creating a set loadout ahead of time. Because again, you can only have so many active at a time. And so that makes it very fun. And then additionally with that, you have different tools at your disposal. And so you have the pickaxe, which will mine moon silver, which is what allows you to unlock new weapons. Or you can bring this tablet that's going to help bring spirits under your control that can offer some other things. Or a fishing rod, XYZ, these different things that you bring. You can only bring one at a time, though. And so you're kind of like, okay, this run, what do I want to focus on? Like, what is my intent? There feels, I think, in original Hades, there was more of this idea of kind of like an aimlessness in some of the runs. Like, what am I trying to accomplish this time? Other than, you know, making it to the end. Yeah. The Hades thrives in the first game. You haven't played it. And again, here in the second, is the magic is dying actually is a good thing. Yes, you want to make it to the end. But because of what you find in your runs, and in death, when you come back, it is now usable. You now make yourself better. You run easier. You unlock new quest lines, new stories, XYZ. All that comes in. There is massive success and failure. I think the first game, not a criticism, but I just think sometimes it'd be a little aimless. Like, what exactly am I looking to do? You know, this run, you're trying to figure it out, look for something. Yeah. Now it's kind of like I'm going for moon silver this run because I really want to unlock the next weapon. Like, that's what I need. Or I can bring the tablet with me and kind of maybe push some side quests, maybe a little bit further along this time around. I think they've just found a way to make more intentionality behind your choices ahead of time instead of kind of an all for one, which isn't a bad idea. And it's more of just like what's this going to be? What is the immediate next step? What is that looking like?
Gotcha.
Whole cast of returning characters. Skelly's back as a completely different character, but the same character.
Okay.
There's what's his name? God of Sleep. He returns.
Hypnos.
Yes, he's back. But just not in the way you think he is. Yeah.
Just sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. And so they have new art styles for everyone because you are at war. They're all in more of their war attire.
Okay.
The artwork's insane. As always, there's a whole host of new deities that are helping out. There's Apollo, Hephaestus. And there's one I never even heard of. She has fire. Cannot remember her name. There's Selene, goddess of one of the goddesses of the moon.
Okay.
And then who is the other one that I've met? I feel like I've met one more. But other ones show up much earlier. Demeter shows up like quickly out the gate.
Okay.
And I feel like she took a long time to come into the fold in the first game. Spoilers for Hades 1. But she's like the second one who shows up, and so on and so forth. And there, it's very much a story is playing out. Other gods and goddesses show up in the flesh as well. I won't say who, but one showed up in the middle of my run, and I'm like, what are you, like, wait, you're here, here. And they're like, yeah, I'm here, here. And you're like, whoa, wait, what's going on? And they're having a conversation about something that's happened that you don't know, like, you're not aware of. And I'm like, you're kind of just, wait, what is going on? You, again, like the first game and this one, you are purposely like misled just enough for you to be like, I am missing something huge right now. I don't know what it is. I'm very excited to find out what it is. Like, it's very compelling because every time it's just like enough to keep like a fish on a hook, just following over and over, over and over. Yeah. Seeing what's happening. I've made it to the third area, which I think in early access, there's only three areas. How I did it, I don't know. I was down to 4 hit points in the first area's boss fight. And I somehow, with no death defiance, somehow made it all the way to the third area, working my way back up. It was crazy. I do think the game is harder than it was, than what the first one was. Okay. Maybe I'm just rusty. Maybe it's just a new set of skills I'm trying to learn. It does feel harder, though.
Okay.
I will. It is so rewarding and so cool. They clearly got a bigger budget, or gave themselves a bigger budget for this game. And it shows. Artwork is insane. The level designs are amazing. The boss fights, the music, it's... Chris, it's early access. It might be the game of the year.
Okay.
2 days, 7 hours in. It's... I mean... Though it's Contenders, the game I'm going to talk about next, but...
What? Top Spin?
Top
Again?
Spin. No, we'll see. But it's... Yeah. Chris, you got to get it. It's... I don't know how you're going to get it, but you got to get it.
I want to get it. I mean, legitimately, not too long back, I was like, you know... Is it time for me to get a Steam Deck? Is that time come? But legitimately, I mean, not even in a joking way, just don't have the money for it right now. And so, yeah,
it's
that's
not a cheap toy.
No, them's the rub. Hopefully, you know, Hades 2 probably got a little while. I mean, does it feel, I mean, aside from the fact that there's just content missing, like playing it, does it feel stable and good to play? Does it feel like it needs a lot of work?
It's flawless, 60 frames per second. They are missing artwork, I will say. They have a stand-in art piece for a lot of characters, like Charon. It's just this guy covered in a cloak. A couple of other minor characters who are showing up. It's just, they just haven't done the new artwork for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does feel like some of the, and again, it might just open up more on, but some of the areas in the hub area are clearly not finished. Like you walk over to this pool, and every time you walk over, she goes, okay, that's it. But it feels like, okay, something is meant to be here. There's another dog, and it's just a statue right now, like an Anubis statue. It's clearly meant to be something a lot more. I think there's a whole restricted area off the side that I'm assuming they won't open up as well. I mean, from a gameplay active fighting stance, it feels complete.
Okay.
But from a full game realization of quest, storyline, some artwork, maybe some extra stuff that comes into play as it did with Hades, That doesn't feel like it's there. Like you're playing through and like before something would happen here, you know, okay. Like you finish a level or you die and like something was to happen, or you step into a new run and an unexpected someone makes an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. I have yet to run into a NPC on a run. You know, you would stumble across like different people out and about.
Yeah.
I've yet to do that. Which feels wrong, I would say.
Yeah.
And so for as much as there is an early access, and it is an astonishing amount, there's plenty left. That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it could go a lot of different directions. I mean, it feels like one of those things where, you know, maybe it's only in early access. Maybe it comes out in a 1.0 release later this year.
No, they said it won't come out till next year.
Okay. Well, never mind then.
Sorry.
Yeah.
They said their plan was to be in early access through 2024.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I imagine they have a lot of stuff they want to fill out, but it's good to hear that it's running well. I mean, that's the important thing. I didn't think people doubted that it would, but the fact that it's running well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So awesome, Corey. Well, I'm sure we'll continue to hear so much about Hades 2 throughout the year. Maybe eventually for me, but no way of knowing.
I mean, I feel it's because, you know, it's on PC and I think they get just a lot more feedback that way, or can like,
yeah,
it could easily just be put on Switch or PlayStation or anything like this and be perfectly fine.
Yeah. I wonder if the early access games come to
Switch. The only place I've seen early access go to is Xbox, surprisingly.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't Pal World
was on
early
Game Pass.
Yeah, and that was on Game Pass. I mean, it's not going to come out on Game Pass or anything, but I mean, it's possible it could come out onto consoles.
Maybe.
Still in early access. Who knows? Yeah, Corey, what else have you been playing? You mentioned you had another GOTY contender that you had not talked about yet.
Yeah, and that is the Dogma of Dragon. Dragon's
my
Dogma
goodness.
2.
Oh.
A game that has been, that has me hook, line, and sinker right now.
Okay.
So Dragon's Dogma 2, or Dragon's Dogma, as it's just calling itself.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. The title card and like what the game menu when you pull it up is just Dragon's Dogma. There is no 2.
I'm just trying to get rid of all.
Yeah.
It's just one game now.
Yeah. It's, Chris, this game. I was talking about it with one of my friends who also has Dragon's Dogma 2. I'm like, it is one of the first games since Skyrim that has nailed what made Skyrim great. And that it's about the journey and not the destination. Mm-hmm. The destination often sucks, but on your way there, it's spectacular.
Okay.
So Dragon's Dogma 2 opens a bit confusingly, pretty confusingly story-wise, but it does explain itself later on, but you are effectively the Arisen. The Arisen in Vermund is the king. Okay. So technically you are the king, yet someone sits the throne. But the pawns, which are this game's, which is Dragon's Dogma's version of companions, follow you and call you the Arisen. So you must be the Arisen.
Okay.
Yep. And so I'm getting ahead of myself. Dragon's Dogma 2 is the follow-up to Dragon's Dogma that came out in 2013. This feels like Capcom's just like, we're going to redo it. similar to how Lords of the Fallen was really just a second chance at Lords of the Fallen last year. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of Lords of the Fallen kind of meekly being like, fine, Dragon's Dogma 2 is incredible. So you make your Arisen, and you start out kind of in an opening area, and it's suddenly revealed, oh, you are the Arisen, and all the pawns in the area go, he is the Arisen. We have to get you out of here.
Okay.
Sequence plays out. You somehow fall into, off to the side, the pawn that's with you falls into the in a river and begins disintegrating. He's like, I'm fine. You'll find me later in the rifts. See you then. And then he dies. And you're like, oh, well, what is going on? Some dude walks up. You fell from the sky. Are you good? No. Let me bandage you up. And then immediately all the pawns, where you go, he's the Arisen. Everyone's like, the Arisen?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? And the game goes from there. Where it is so spectacular, Chris. Just the character creation, amazing. I made Cormac Wesker.
Okay.
He's huge. He has a dump truck. and biceps for days.
Okay.
You get to
love
make
him
your,
already.
Yeah, you get to make your own pawn. And you get to set your temperance. You get to set how they act in XYZ. And so I've made a faithful pawn who is very loyal, very compassionate and kind-hearted. Mm-hmm. And you can hire pawns out from Riftstones, or you might just stumble across them in the world to create a party of four. And you travel the world together. And so there are four main classes in Dragon's Dogma 2. You have a fighter, kind of sword and board, a thief with daggers, the best class in the game, a ranger, bow and arrow, and you have a mage who operates as a wizard and cleric, like a healer and a damage dealer. More, I'd say, support than DPS is a mage. Because there are other classes as well. We won't get into the other ones, but there's like a warrior and a sorcerer as well. Mm-hmm. But those come up later down the line. And then there's some secret classes as well that I haven't unlocked yet. But the game cuts you loose pretty much immediately and is like, hey, go down to the town, the dragon, which the dragon is the BBEG, big bad evil guy. Just attacked. Maybe you can find out some more there. As you're the Arisen, since the dragon has come, now you have come, because that is how the world works here. Once the dragon returns, the Arisen is then made, born, however you want to look at it. And they must fight is the premise as well. But out in the open world, you're just running around, you're collecting. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to pick up some grapes, some apples, some strawberries, get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, just finding whatever I can. Well, my pawn is like, you know, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. Okay. And your pawn learns from you, which is the most amazing thing. And surely enough, my pawn, the lady is her name, just is like, let me get that for you. Don't worry about it. I got it. And she is just a hoarder of all things I need now.
Okay.
And so I'm just running around. She's like, hey, don't worry about it. I got it. That chest in the distance, I'll get that. Don't worry about it, Arisen. And it's insane. And so that's just a little bit. Sure enough, down the line, I do have a party of four. An ogre shows up, this huge ogre, and we're fighting him, and he's off balance, and I go to push him because I can like push him over. My pawn goes, that's a great idea. I'll do that. And sure enough, just comes up next to me and helps me. We push him over together. Okay. I jump on his back. I'm stabbing him. One of my pawns goes, that's a great idea. Jumps on the back and is like stabbing him too. And they learn. And it's like a toddler being like, that is so smart. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And, but it turns into where I don't even have to go and do it. So in a fight, ogre's falling over. they push them down immediately just for me. I'm not commanding them to do it. I'm not doing any, like, it's just happening. One of my other pawns goes down. I'm going to pick them up, carry them away from danger, and like revive them. And other pawns will just now go and do that. It's you mold how you play is how the game's going to play with you. And it is spectacular in that they just nail it with such ease as you're just like trying to figure the game out. The game is like, we're going to reward your successes by allowing your party, your pawns, quote unquote, to do this as well. Now your pawn will go out into the universe, effectively, of Dragon's Dogma, and can be hired out by other people. So you could go and hire the lady, Chris. Go hire my pawn people.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to come in and she's going to be like, I'm going to get every single thing that is consumable within eyesight of you, Arisen. Don't you worry about a thing. And sure enough, she's going to be overburdened real quick, which is, I guess, is a con of this. But it's other pawns, they pick up talents, I believe is the name. And one of a pawn I currently have just automatically sorts our inventory for us. She's like, I'm just going to balance this out between all of us. You don't got to do a thing, Arisen. Everything nice and tidy. Other ones will automatically just craft things for you. Like, hey, this stuff makes a healing potion. That's the only thing it's going to make. I just made it for you. Here you go. You got it. And so I'm emphasizing this, but it's just, it feels amazing to watch it happen in real time and to you kind of chop and change between pawns as well, just to see like what's going to happen. What's going to be different. Sometimes they're an absolute asshole. Some of them are really, really mean. One guy picked up, I was picking up stuff and he's like, are we going to just do this all day? Is this all you do? In the other worlds I've been to, my Arisen's all about the action and you're not. Can we go fight something? And I'm just like, hey, chill. He's like, disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Which does have story implications later on that I will not reveal or spoil. But they get a little too sassy. You should, you know, squint a little bit at them. That's all I got to say, Chris.
Okay.
But throughout, I don't know if they're scripted. I don't know if it's intended, but you're just like walking through down the road. Troll comes out, ogre comes out. And you're like, well, I guess I got to fight him. And he came out of nowhere. And it turns into this huge monster hunter fight. And it feels so, I don't know, like I said, if it's scripted, but it feels scripted. Like he just comes running out of the trees and now I'm here. I know some of them are for story purposes, but just roaming. I'm like, all right, we're going to take him down. Okay, cool. We did that. Moving along our way, Griffin comes down. Got to take this guy out as well. I do have a Griffin story I'm going to get to in a bit. And sorry, I'm jumping everywhere, but the game jumps everywhere. So I feel like I have to. Got to encapsulate its vision. I'll move on, be a little bit more concise. The game is, one, visually, just stunning. I cannot believe how good it looks and how much of a high fantasy game it feels like. It has nailed a Lord of the Rings vibe that I did not think was possible. And in terms of it, what is happening in the game as well feels so unique. And it's not something other games haven't done. But time passes in the game and things happen in the game. And if you do not address them, it like the game will just move on without you. So there are quests that will come up. And in this one, I had a lady approach me. I'm in the middle of the town. She's like, hey, I think I'm going to go on vacation to this place. And I need someone to house sit for me. Can you do that? I'm like, sure. She's like, all right, I'm going to be back in like a week. No. Okay. She's like, bye. I'm like, all right. Well, this is cheaper. And it's 10,000 gold to stay at the inn. And it's free here. And so I didn't think too much of it. And so I'm out doing quests, all these different things. And I came back one night and I sleep and I wake up and she's like, hey, thanks for watching the house. Seems, you know, pretty clean. Seems like you slept here maybe once or twice. I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, I like the place I went to. So I think I'm going to move there. Do you want to buy my house? I'm like, oh, sure. She's like, all right, yeah, that's 20,000 gold. I'm, you know, I did the quick math. Like, yeah, that's a steal. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all right, see you later. I'm like, well, I got a house just like that. Okay. What would have happened had I not been here? And I went and did the math. I'm like, oh, no, I was gone 7 days. And then I was gone a couple more days, came back, and I had a letter from her like, hey, you should come check out my new home where I live. It's pretty neat. Love to see you. I'm like, all right. Well, there we go. And there's a couple of other quests. There's like this whole elven quest where at the end it was like, hey, if we don't go right now, my sister's going to die. I'm like, I believe you. Like, I don't know if I can put this off, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, you get there and like, it's not going well. But it feels such a fluid and alive world in a game where it's like you kind of just have to pay attention with what's going on. Like there's little like mentions and quotes, a couple things here and there where you're just like, wait, what's going on? One of my pawns was like, I think there's someone following us. I'm like, you know, you kind of look at him, like, elaborate. You can't just say that. He's like, I'm pretty sure someone's following us. And it's like a new quest marker shows up, like, figure out who's following you. I'm like, excuse me? You want me to what? Another one is like, you have to follow someone else. And like, some citizens, like, I don't get how this guy's getting his money. He makes too much money. I don't get it. And you're like, all right, cool. He's like, I think we should get to the bottom of this. I'm like, oh, all right. And he was like, are you in? I'm like, sure, let's figure it out. Mm-hmm. And it's this like detective game. There's another one where I have to like infiltrate this masquerade and you have to buy the right clothes and go in and can't have any weapons, can't have any pawns with you either. It's, I can't believe that they've gotten this detail down and like the way this game operates down in such a fashion. I did not think it was possible. Like I said, we're in similar ways to Skyrim as you're going at dragon attacks. You meet this random NPC, this like these seemingly unauthored, unscripted things that feel so authored and scripted will happen. Dragon's Dogma is nailing it left, right, and center. It feels good to play. Combat feels great. The different classes play so differently. There's different party combinations you can work with. Upping your character feels well, and as well as, you know, upping your vocation, your class at each level feels very rewarding. It's like the new skills you get is spectacular. And it, mm-hmm. like, the power fantasy of it all feels real as you're getting up there in like higher vocation levels. I mean, and then I just hired one of my friend's pawns who's like 20 levels higher than I am. And oh my gosh, the power discrepancy is real. I had to dismiss him because it kind of broke the immersion for me of watching him like one shot some monsters I was, you know, taking 5 minutes to bring down. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, this is cool. I'm glad to see where I'm going to be, but it's kind of killing me. So sorry, Tobias, you had to go. But also, the way combat works, and I have to get into my Griffin story now. And so I'm in the capital city. I'm strolling out, Chris. I see this Griffin attacking a farm, you know, maybe half a mile down the road. I'm like, all right, guys, let's go. I hit the go button for your pawns. You have go, help me, which comes in handy when a wolf bites your head and carries you like 100 yards away from the fight and just starts chomping on you. And you're like, help, help. Please. There's to me, which is like, hey, gather around. And then there's wait of just, you know, hey, hang out here. Yep. I say go. And they're like, all right, on it. And there's a whole like town's guard unit out there as well. We're all fighting this Griffin. Anyway, he gets down to like one health bar and he flies away. I'm like, what the heck? I mean, I get it. It's cool that the game like has like survival instincts for these monsters. But man, that was a really tough fight that I just put myself through for zero reward. A couple hours later, I stumble upon another griffin. We're getting to that one health bar and I see him rearing up. I'm like, absolutely not. You're not going anywhere. And I jump on its back because you can climb on monster's back. And he takes off with me on his back. And it was one of those like record scratch moments as he's like hundreds of feet in the air. Mm-hmm. I'm away from my pawns and everyone. It's just me on the griffin's back and record scratch. So I'm wondering, I guess you're wondering how I got here. Because I'm like, I'm running out of stamina. So I can't hold on for long. And it's just me. I've goofed immeasurably here. I'm like, how do I bring him down? And I'm like, you're kind of panicking because I started just stabbing him a lot, hoping he would like just go down. No. And so I was like, wait, I was being a rogue at the time. Like, I can light my daggers on fire. Maybe if I do enough damage, I'll set him on fire entirely. And so sure enough, that's exactly what I did. And sets on fire. He crashes to the ground. I look behind me. My pawns are full sprint, like right there. They followed. The game clearly has like, you know, sped moved them to me in an unrealistic way. But I didn't care because I see them charging down the hill. I'm like, let's get him as he's crashed. And we all just like in a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure when they like jump that one dude. I'm sure you've seen the meme. It was just all of us at once. Just like, you're not getting away. the griffin that did get away from before just immediately attacked the town and like killed a ton of people. And as soon as we got there, he dipped again. I'm like, this is stupid. Funny. Not funny, but like just in a, I can't not believe.
Funny, ha ha.
Yeah, but it's just like, you're kidding me, right? But like seeing that entire experience happen in this fight where he took me from one end of the map to the other in his flight and then to bring him down and then one of my pawns being like, hey, our next mission is like that village, like a couple hundred feet away. You want me to lead the way? I'm like, you know, soaked in blood, hands on my hips, like, yeah, sure. Yeah, lead the way. And it's Chris, I can't believe how good the game is. Can't believe I'm playing two masterpieces in Hades 2, Dragon's Quest 2.
I even have the time.
I don't know. I don't know. But I love them both. I love them both dearly. Yeah, Dragon's Dogma 2. Yeah, no. Crawl. Don't walk. Because that's where it's at. It's the real deal.
My goodness, Corey. Look at you. Playing all the best games. Happy, taking man. Them for yourself.
It's a great time.
Well, everybody's... Yeah, I also would love to play Dragon's Dogma 2. Have not gotten around to it. Was going to pick it up whenever it came out, but I was in the throes of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And didn't want that level of additional commitment in my life. But yeah, if I can't have Hades 2, I might have to have Dragon's Dogma 2 instead. I don't know. Well, I love it, Corey. I'm excited. I want to hear more about your adventures. And I will for sure pick up your lady whenever I go on my adventures. Maybe I'll try to figure out a way to pick up your man, because he sounds like a hunk. Pawn or not, I'm going to rip him over into my world.
Yeah, you can't pull other pawns, but if you can find my friend's pawn, Tobias, that man is a monster.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw my weapon damage at the time was like, I think 205, and his was like 610. I'm like, excuse me? And I watched him just like explode a goblin. I'm like, oh, okay.
Love it.
Yeah, it's, gosh, it's so good. It's not like, it's a completely different game to a Skyrim or in an Elden Ring or The Witcher, because there aren't like millions of quest markers or anything like that. It's quite literally you just stumbling into it, or a townsfolk like saying something, or this guy being like, hey, I can't buy this thing over there. Can you lend me like 1,000 gold? And like, I'll pay you back. And you're like, I guess I'll do my do a good deed for today.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, you're a real chap. And then next thing you know, you're just like in a, what, like the Rick and Morty meme. It's like, hey, in and out, 20 minutes, we got this. And I'm like, all right, you know, we went from 1,000 gold to this. And it's just like 20 minutes. So you're like, what have you gotten me into? This is life or death now. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And it's fun.
Love it. That is so good. Man, I want to play it.
I think you would adore it, Chris. I think you'd be stunned by the and fall into the level of immersion that it's offering. Also, don't go out at night. You will get effed up real quick, in shockingly quick manner. It's like those games of like, hey, don't go out at night. Everything's much tougher. Like in Final Fantasy 15. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. That was punishing. This is not to that level of punishing, but it's just like you're barely surviving. Because the game does. Sorry, I'm just. I keep going, Chris. It's just so good. Your health bar diminishes throughout the day, so the more and more fights you get in, the less health you can recover, and so you do have to like actually sleep and rest and. Eating food gives you different things. Also, they just used actual footage of them cooking meat for their campfire. It's not like CGI steak. It's literally like, no, this is a real steak in a real pan on a campfire that's cooking. And I'm like, I respect that. You know, like, it'd been a lot of money. And this way it wasn't. All right. Cut me off.
Yeah. Cutting you off, Corey.
What have you been playing, Chris?
Yeah, nothing as cool as Corey, apparently. But I have been playing a little bit. I did play Have a Nice Death.
Yeah,
you heard that. Came out on Game Pass. Been wanting to play it since it... How long's Have a Nice Death been out? It's been out...
About last year. Not that long.
Yeah, I think it also was in, so yeah, early access in 2022. And then I guess had a full release last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Have a Nice Death is a roguelike. You might know it, kind of like Hades, wherein you play as Death. You know, the. Like Hades.
Yeah.
Basically, I've been playing Hades, Corey.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. You play the whole conceit of the game is it's basically kind of like a roguelike in the underworld, but what if mixed with like The Office kind of? Because it's
kind of like, what was it? Death's Door?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, Death's Door was also very much like that, where it distilled this idea of death into like a very corporate kind of thing. Have a Nice Death like leans into that. I think partially because it is a roguelike. So you're seeing, you know, whenever you die, it's structured similarly to Hades with some of the like recurring elements where you are like, you know, you run into one of the people that you know at the start of a run or in the break room, quote unquote, where you're like healing up and they'll carry on conversations and narratives from, you know, from previous runs and stuff. And so you're seeing that. So you're, you know, getting a little bit more of that, you know, here's this character just kind of standing around a water cooler and you're having more conversations with them. But yeah, Death's Door had a lot of that. Basically, I mean, the whole conceit of it is like, you know, Death was just this big bad guy doing his thing, ruling the world. And then his maybe not ruling the world, but doing yeah. his role. And he was the big kahuna. And then his executives, the Sorrows, started getting a little carried away and started basically just like killing a little too many people.
Ooh.
And now Death has a lot more paperwork to do, and he's not feeling it.
I respect that.
And
I get it.
He wants to go on vacation, but he can't. He's right. got a lot of stuff to take care of. So he sets out on a quest through the various departments of his corporation to lay down the law and show him who's boss. So each of these like worlds that you go through are effectively like different departments of the underworld where they basically embody like they're supposed to embody like the thing that killed, like whatever you died from, you would reside in this department effectively. So there's like a, and it actually does have like an interesting kind of thing that I appreciate, as opposed to like something like, so like in the original Hades, you would have a very basic breakdown of like, you always went to the first area. You always went to the same first area. Martyrs. You went to the same.
Right. What was the second one?
It was the, Styx? Wasn't it the river Styx? Yeah. You always went to those, and like you might run into like a different enemy or have different challenges and different rooms, obviously, but like the same basic structure was there. And with this, that is also the case, but you do have a little bit of choice. So like you go through the same first level, for instance, and you get to the end and you fight your security guard, Brad, and he's like a gargoyle and you fight him and you dish it out. And then you have the choice of going, okay, do I want to go to, I think it's like toxic pollution, like the Department of Toxic Pollution or the Department of Food Pollution. And you go to them and there are different enemies. They're different final bosses of those like respective worlds. And also I think if you go to one, you get, the upgrades for that run tend to skew one direction or another.
Gotcha.
So if you're specifically trying to go for specific upgrades, like it very much is built like Dead Cells, wherein like you would get these upgrades throughout and you have like these three choices, and there's more of like an attack one, and maybe there's more of like a survival one, and there's more of a magic based one. And so you're kind of basing your build kind of around that. A lot of it being chance of just kind of like the weapons that you're coming across and whatever.
Yeah.
So my progress, I beat it quote unquote in that like I finished my first run. But you know, there's more narrative after that. There are more runs obviously after that. Just based on like everything that is kind of presenting out to you. I just haven't played any more past that. I will say like the combat super great, like clicked with me maybe I need to go back and play Dead Cells. I don't know. Dead Cells really didn't click with me super well. Have a Nice Death, really tight. Like, fast, frenetic, the weapons, like, you know, I mean, the weapons are, there's some weapons that feel a little samey, like there's some that are not like totally unique, but there were plenty where it was like, okay, I got this one and I'm leaning into this one. And like, now I'm getting these upgrades and I can really like, you know, beef this one up to make it like a real heavy hitter. And there are also like a lot of benefits that you can like, you know, you can charge up an attack, you build up this, I can't remember what it's called, I think it's like a frenzy or something like that, where you can make like a super powered version of that attack. So there are a lot of options, a lot of different ranges. The negative, not negative, just the thing that didn't quite hit is like, the, you know, they're obviously inspired by Hades with a lot of that. I I didn't really get drawn into many of the characters' like whole things. I don't know if it's because there's no voice acting, so it's just a lot of like, you know, it's a lot of just you're reading text and you're expected to kind of like, you know, pull in a lot of this, or like in some cases it's a lot. Like they'll have like some decently lengthy, just kind of mundane conversations, especially whenever you're like in the middle of a run, you're like, I'm not really.
Yeah,
not really feeling this, especially when it's not really related to anything. I kind of feel like in Hades, when people are talking to you, it feels like there's a purpose, you know, even if it's not about you, like there is something there. Whereas with this, it's like, you know, they're talking about like, ah, did you hear like old Greg over there's like, you know, got in it again. He found his way lost in the addictions department. I don't know how anybody's going to get him out of that one. And like, and they'll kind of like hint toward like maybe a secret, like, oh yeah, he found this door and it's highlighted and it will be like, you know, maybe, I don't know about that. I'd never heard of a door in that area before. But so, I mean, there's some things, there's other stuff that is a little bit more compelling. Like, I don't really want to spoil it, but like, you know, there's a whole thing with like, a union where they, you know, some of the employees like start this union and it becomes like, it kind of changes some of the, you know, the way that you're interacting with some of these characters and stuff. And,
maybe the head of the union.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's so it is a very solid game. I think it's just a little less like, it doesn't have that same like memorable narrative hook as something like a Hades, but it definitely like clicked with me. I feel like better than Dead Cells, for instance.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, the art is striking. Like it, was, I didn't know this until after I had played it, but whenever I was playing it, I was like, man, this art reminds me so much of the Rayman games. Specifically like the recent ones, not recent, I mean 10 years plus now, but Rayman Legends and Origins from Ubisoft. And you know, I looked it up in the multiple artists from those teams are came over to this. Nice. So animation artwork is just stunning. Really, really great. Feels great to play. Liked it a lot. Yeah. It's on Game Pass. So you can go check it out. It's tough. I, you know, there's more of it to play. Like you, I mean, not really a spoiler, I guess, but like the end of your first run, like after it, I think there are more departments that unlock. So effectively, like subsequent runs are longer effectively because you're, you know, have more to kind of undertake. I just haven't like done it. Also the other, like one of the other narratives is that like it felt tough to kind of onboard. Like it felt like it hit me with a lot of terms really quickly that it took me a while to get. Like one of the things being I can't remember what the negative is, but like your upgrades, the things that you get, so like your there's a guy named OSHA, he's your HR manager, he pops up around and he gives you your red, blue, green like power up choices, and they're called curses. And for the longest time, and I can't remember what the negative is, I think it might be, it's something really close to that. It's some sort of penalty that you can get. And I remember like I would see these things that it would like, you know, grants you a curse, and I'd be like, I don't want that. That's bad.
It sounds bad.
And so like I was playing multiple runs where it was like, I didn't know what certain words meant because I didn't feel like it told me very well. Like, oh yeah, curses are good and this thing is bad. And like, this is what you're going for. Or even like, you know, red means this and blue means this. Like it didn't feel like it kind of laid out some of those things really well. And so it was kind of hitting me in the face right away with all of this stuff. And I was like, I have zero clue. Like even stuff where it was like, okay, you're, you know, here's this red card and it powers up your cloak abilities. And it's like, okay, I don't know what a cloak ability is. But apparently a cloak ability's ability that's not your main hand weapon.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, like it's stuff like that where it's kind of like you parse it out pretty quickly, but it's like when you're just seeing the words all side by side, like this powers up your cloak ability, not your scythe, but it can power up all of your, can't remember the word that means them both. Mm-hmm. Like there is a word that means both of them at the same time. So yeah, I don't know. Stuff like that. You know, it's just if you're familiar with roguelikes and stuff, it doesn't take long to get into, but
no,
but you know, there's a little bit of a curve out of the gate just to learn some terminology. But overall, good game, enjoying it.
Good
second game, Corey. Ooh. Rattling through this,
guys. A second game has dropped.
I know you used all of our time talking about your games, you dumb boy.
Sorry.
I have started to stay ahead of the curve, Corey, while you're playing Hades 2 and Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah.
I've been playing Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah. 2. Yeah.
The only Sons two. Yeah. The only two that matters. I have been playing that according to, like, it's hard to tell, but according to like walkthrough stuff, I'm probably.
You're near the end by.
I don't think I'm near the end. I would guess like 2/3. Like that's what I would guess.
Says more 3/4.
Maybe, but
mathematically.
Well, yeah, but that's not how Kojima works.
Fair. Fair.
But
that sequence, yeah. It's got to be a long one.
Yeah. So Metal Gear Solid 2 takes place or starts, I guess. 2 years after the events of Metal Gear Solid 1. Won't dig into that too much. If you want to listen, Metal Gear Solid 1, spoiler discussion, released that last week. But yeah, you start out on like this big tanker ship and you're doing this thing and, you know, you're immediately hit with all these callbacks. Otacon, he's there. Revolver Ocelot. In a helicopter.
What?
They're talking about Metal Gear right out of the gate. I mean, it's hitting you.
Yeah.
Right in the face.
I say so. I own it already.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you're right there in it. And I mean, for me, like, again, not done, and I'll continue kind of like digging into it as we have further discussions and stuff, but immediately, I will say, plays so much better than Metal Gear Solid 1. Does it play well?
That's subjective.
It's subjective. It's a toss-up. It plays a whole lot better. And I say that to say, like, stuff like being able to hang on railings. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Being able to do that, that's kind of cool. Being able to like first person aim and shoot, like that's kind of cool. Like being able to just like, you know, I want to like hit this guy in the butt. I want to just shoot him right there. Like I can make it happen. I can steer that trajectory, make it happen. Feels good. You know, just in general, like feels tighter, just feels better to play. Looks like it feels less obtuse in so many different ways. I have had to look up an answer to something so much
it's a Kojima game.
Yeah, then Metal Gear Solid 1. I mean, so the overall like experience of playing the game is so much better. I don't want to spoil. I mean, it is a 20-year-old game, like, and if you know anything about Metal Gear Solid 2, which apparently I knew even less than I thought, because like I'm being taken by surprise by a number of things, like going through it. But there are some big things that, like, especially at the time, were just very contentious and put Metal Gear Solid 2 like in the very bottom rung of the Metal Gear Solid hierarchy. Like, a lot of people really do feel like Metal Gear Solid 2 is like the worst. And specifically from a narrative perspective, like, yeah, gameplay, everybody agrees, better than one, nobody's arguing that, but you know, from just a general narrative perspective, and also just a, like, some of the twists and some of the choices, like character choices that they make, being like, I don't think it is a spoiler to say you don't only play as Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid 2. And so, you know, I think that in and of itself holds a lot of baggage. I will say, like, the overall story is less, like, the villains are less memorable. The fights so far have, you know, you don't have, I haven't come up against a Psycho Mantis fight, you know. There are some, like, there are some interesting puzzles. There are some different, like, some of those different things, like, that have been good. Like, I mean, on the flip side, haven't had a Vulcan Raven fight. That's kind of, you know, that's kind of nice. There's nothing that's been like atrocious where I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But, you know, it does feel like, even though I didn't love Metal Gear Solid, I'm like, okay, I can see where people are coming from, where, like, you could go into Metal Gear Solid 2 and you could be disappointed coming in off of all of this hype. And it's also entirely possible that people not liking Metal Gear Solid 2 made people like Metal Gear Solid 3 way more. Like, I could go into Metal Gear Solid 3 and not really love it, but people just kind of love it more because they don't like Metal Gear Solid 2. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, by and large, I will also say, like, the primary area that you're a part of, like, you know, there are a couple areas that you go through. The area that you spend the most time in is, on one account, kind of interesting in the fact that it's a lot more open. You do, like, it, I mean, especially for a PS2 game, like, feels, for a game that early, like, does feel kind of just, like, you know, open and, like, you can go all over the place and do all these, like explored all of these different corners and all this kind of stuff. And it's not like that big, but, you know, you have choice in how you're kind of going about these things. But it does feel kind of bland in a lot of ways. And I've seen people, like, looking back at old reviews, like, there was a complaint, like, a lot of complaints of just being like, yeah, it doesn't feel as memorable as, like, Shadow Moses, for instance. Like, you know, a lot of those areas having very distinct, like, you know, different, you know, you're in the underground area, or now you're in the ice caves, or you're in the boiler room, or whatever. This feels a lot more, like, homogenous in a lot of ways. So yeah, I mean, overall, again, having a better time with it. Like, I would say, like, I like it better than Metal Gear Solid, by a long shot, if for no other reason than the fact that I'm actually enjoying playing it. So that's a big plus.
That's a win.
So I you know, I can't imagine it'll take me too much longer to play it. I mean, I think that how long to beat on is like 13 and a half hours, maybe, which you know, by that account, I'm halfway to two thirds. Like I'm in the like 7 to 8 hour range. But yeah, I don't know. I'll, you know, we'll talk about it more once I'm finished up. If you ever get around to it, Corey,
I'm excited to jump into it.
Yeah.
We want to get the second one out quicker than we got the first one out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I will be jumping in.
Yeah. We don't have any sooner.
No,
Corey.
No, I know. I know where to go. I got this.
Yeah.
You have a little faith.
Maybe we give ourselves to the end of the year. I don't know.
No.
But yeah, it's been a joy. I continue to look forward to the rest of the series because, you know, it's who knows what's in store from here on out. Yeah. But aside from that, I won't talk too much about I had a couple other things, been playing a few older like PS2 era GameCube games, namely Super Mario Sunshine, SpongeBob. Battle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated Edition. Yeah. Been playing a couple of those things with my daughter. Can talk about those experiences another time.
Next week.
Corey, do you have anything else?
No, I didn't. Oh, saw Challengers. Go see Challengers.
It's great.
The trailer does not really encapsulate what the movie is. Go see it. It's great. The score, amazing.
Zendaya's fifth movie in the last year.
Sounds about right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Sure.
I don't know. She's been in two movies this year, but before this year, she had only been in one movie since 2021.
Spider-Man?
Well, no, Spider-Man in 2021. She was in a documentary in 2022 called Is That Black Enough For You?
Oh. She also did Euphoria season 2 come out?
Yeah, she's been in Euphoria, which is still ongoing. Well, season 2.
Season 3 is on hiatus. The showrunner said, go work on your projects.
Yeah. So season 2 came out in 2022 too. So she's been working on some other stuff, but
Challengers.
Good on her.
Love the director.
Love it. Corey, where can people find you on the internet? They want to find you on the internet.
Follow me over on #SlingandThresher on Instagram. Otherwise, you can email us at arcade_cozy@gmail.com. Always feel free to leave a like or review on wherever you decide to listen to our voices in your ears, aka wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Love it.
Chris, I know you are still not on the internet, so will you present who they can follow this week instead?
To continue the hype train, go follow Supergiant Games.
Yeah.
Do it. Yeah, they're on Instagram, they're at Supergiant Games. I imagine other places they are something similar. Go follow them. Hades 2, Transistor, Bastion, Pyre. They make a lot of games.
Missing one. Yeah. A lot of good games.
Yeah. A lot of great games.
Yeah.
Corey, till next time, this has been Arcade Cozy. Life is hectic. Why should
your hobbies be too? Bum, 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 bum. Stay.
Bum, 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 bum.
Womp, the challengers
womp 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 womp